Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by Mueller Honda of Gurnee, where the Mueller price is always their best price. Sunday Night Football at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. We love talking to Mike Florio about the state of the NFL. I have a hypothetical that I want to run by you guys about where I think this anthem story is going, like, in a couple of weeks. But, Mike, where do we stand right now in terms of what the owners are trying to do with the players?
Well, right now, nothing is happening because the owners get together next week. Privately, the NFL, I think, is starting to put the wheels in motion for a potential adjustment to the current provision of the game operations manual that says players must be on the sideline for the national anthem and should stand. And I think the NFL recognizes the way that that's currently written, it is not mandatory and teams cannot require players to stand. They could change that rule next week and it could spark a legal battle because the NFL believes it's not something that they need to talk to the union about by way of bargaining with them. The union would likely say, wait a minute, you're talking about taking disciplinary action against players based upon something that we have never agreed that they should or shouldn't do. You need to bargain with us. If we have the ability to block this or, at a minimum, to say give us something else in exchange for having the power to force players to stand under threat of not playing at all. And that's where I think this could go because I think the NFL wants to solve this problem once and for all. And even if it means getting itself into a legal mess, at least the NFL can say to the president, we're doing what you want. Now, please leave us alone.
So here's what's interesting to me about that. Because if the owners say stand, if they say it's going on in the NBA, right? It's in the rules there. And they write it in and they say stand. Donald Trump will claim victory on that. Obviously, it's been a nice talking point for him. My guess is, and Malcolm Jenkins has already spoken to this, the players will just find a different outlet to make their expression about police brutality and racial inequality, presumably still during the anthem while standing. Raising a fist would make some sense to me, you know, Tommy Smith, John Carlos, 1968, etc. My guess is the owners won't say anything about that. And I'm wondering what happens if Trump isn't cool with that. Like, well, what do you do there? Because I can't imagine the players are just going to all of a sudden be like, okay, they said not to do it. We're cool now.
Yeah, let me back up a step, though, because in the memo that the commissioner sent to all teams yesterday, and this one wasn't leaked to someone, this one was made public, so they want us all to be reading it and trying to understand it. Goodell suggests that what they would do is provide players with an in-season platform to promote their work regarding community issues. So I think what would happen is the league says, here, guys, this is what you're going to get, whether it's a month, whether it's a pre-anthem video, whether it's something else. They're going to pull it away from the anthem and then say, now you're going to stand for the anthem. So you have a separate platform to express your concerns. Here it is. Have fun, but stand for the anthem. So I don't think they're going to. Now, you still may have guys who raise a fist. And maybe the president at that point is content to say, you're standing. I don't care what you're doing while you're standing. I mean, he deliberately misinterpreted locked arms a couple of weeks ago as respect for the country when it was part of the unity being shown against his attack on the NFL and its players. So I don't know. You know, you may still have Malcolm Jenkins with a fist in the air. The question becomes how viable, how attractive, how useful of a platform will the league give the players as an alternative to protesting during the anthem. And if it's significant enough, maybe the players look at it and say, you know what, we win. We get what we're looking for. We have our avenue for expressing our concerns. Let's just go ahead and stand for the anthem. If there are people out there who, no matter what we say, feel that this is disrespectful, let's not allow them to feel that way. Let's stand for the anthem and otherwise focus on our goals.
Well, they're being told how to protest or told how to get their message across. So, and this idea has been bandied about before, right, of giving the players a week or a month. There was something a couple years ago. I remember Brandon Marshall, you know, wearing the green cleats for mental illness. right?
So, well, and they do. And now they have My Cleats, My Cause in December, and I think they're going to do that again. But this is going to be broader, and it's going to be focused more on the issues that have given rise to these protests. Racial equality, social justice, police brutality, et cetera. I think that, and you know what? The league has dropped the ball here by not being proactive. The NFL is far too reactive, and I think they saw the problem, they knew the problem, but it never was at full boil. And so instead of cutting it off before it got to full boil, they just sat back and waited, and now it's at full boil. And look, they're going to kind of clumsily force the solution on the players and hope that the players are going to be okay with it. And some of them may not be okay with it just because you don't challenge NFL players. You don't tell them, here's what you will and won't do, here's what you can and can't do, and they may react to that negatively.
There are some players who are out there, and I hope it gets publicized. Like Kenny Stills went out with the North Miami Police Department and spoke in the community with others, holding people accountable on how they conduct themselves interacting with police, holding police accountable for their actions as well, getting both sides together, expressing appreciation for the sacrifices and the contributions made by the officers, but also working to build the bridges with between them and the community. I mean, this is what it's actually about, and we've spent so many wasted column inches and radio minutes talking about the flag. So in that sense, maybe we get to actually talk about what it's about.
Well, and you're right. We haven't talked much about what it's about since Colin Kaepernick explained it for the first time. And
nope.
I thought his most compelling argument, the notion that in California, it takes a heck of a lot more training and experience to be a cosmetologist than it does to be a police officer and carry around lethal force with a license to use it under certain circumstances. And maybe they're not properly trained and experienced on how and when to properly use it. That's the core issue. So I hope that it gets to that point. I think we're all weary and exhausted and just worn out. I mean, the causes that are being advanced are valid, but it become, you know, people say stick to sports. Well, if people would stick to politics, we could stick to sports. I mean, politics is invading the backyard of the NFL. How can we not talk about this? How can we not cover it? And hopefully an acceptable solution can be found that allows focus to be on the things the players are trying to put focus on. And even though it's gotten lost in the anthem controversy and it's been co-opted in recent weeks, we're still getting far more attention for these issues than we otherwise would have had if there hadn't been the protests in the first place.
We're talking to Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com. The segment is brought to you by Townstone Financial. Do you believe that Jerry Jones would bench Ezekiel Elliott if he kneeled for the anthem?
No. I don't think he would. But here's the thing. If it comes down to it, if the end result here is that NFL owners have the right to say to players, and they say to players, you stand for the anthem or you sit on the bench, do we really think players are going to choose to sit on the bench? We're talking about a group that won't go on strike to get a better deal for themselves because they don't want to not play football. They don't want to give up game checks. It would be very, very interesting to see what the sanction is. If you get benched for not standing for the anthem, do you give up your game check that week too? I mean, players won't give up game checks in their own long-term financial interests. Why are they going to give up game checks when there's another platform that's being provided to them and they're going to deliberately kneel or sit for the anthem and give up their ability to play and get paid? I don't think they're going to do it. That's part of the psychology of this situation that I think the league needs to understand and use to its advantage if it wants to resolve this thing once and for all.
So we have a full understanding of the situation here. The code that you're referencing about what players are supposed to do at the anthem, as was released last Sunday night by ESPN, contains a different wording than it did the last time it was seen publicly, which is 3 years ago, i.e. it was changed sometime in the last 3 years, correct?
Well, and yes, and yesterday, Joe Lockhart, the NFL spokesman, said that those changes were made in 2015 when they were doing basically a scrub of the manual, because I think portions of the manual were relevant to the Tom Brady case, okay. So it was a good opportunity to bring in the lawyers and whoever and say, let's make this all a little bit more clear. It's not something that was done as a reaction to the anthem issue. That's what they say.
Okay.
And unless you've got the copy of it that was in place in 2016 before Colin Kaepernick took a seat for the first time, it's impossible to know.
I guess I get that that's what they say. But Jerry Jones is also the one who says, you know who pointed out the wording to me? Donald Trump.
Well, but it's not about the punishment. It's about should versus must. This is what it all comes down to. You must be on the sideline. You should stand. And some will interpret should to mean must. It doesn't. Should is we'd like you to, but we can't make you. Must is we're making you. And should stand could become must stand by this time next week. That's the key. I mean, shocker. Let me set politics aside. Shocker. Donald Trump is factually wrong about something. So, and Jerry Jones jumps on board with it. Jerry Jones is factually wrong in his interpretation. And it was interesting to hear Joe Lockhart tiptoe through that minefield yesterday. He didn't want to call out Jerry Jones for being wrong, but it's clear the way the NFL views it. Current rule, should, means you can't be required to stand. By next week, when the owners get together and Jerry Jones tries to dominate the conversation and say, if all we have to do, guys, if all we have to do is turn should to must, well, let's just turn. We'll be saving one letter. Let's just make should must. That wasn't a very good Jerry Jones
impression. Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I've heard.
Sounded more like Ross Perot.
Yeah, it did sound like. I was trying to place it. That's it. It's Ross Perot.
Dana
Carvey doing Ross
Perot.
That's
right.
I think people know where we stand on the issue and the actual issue of the cause and how this should go and all of that sort of thing. But these owners are billionaires and they're protecting their business or how they think they're protecting it. Here's a question that I haven't seen answered, in my opinion, adequately. Maybe you have. How much is this actually tangibly affecting their business, whether through ratings or anything else?
They don't know. But here's the thing they're concerned about. Consider this. Last year, the ratings were down dramatically. Now, and a lot of it was the election, games up against, debates.
Bad now, national TV games.
Right, right. Now, this year, the ratings are up some in comparison to last year, but you compare it to 2015 and... oh, boy, it's still down. And we don't have the politics excuse this year. So we don't know what it is. You know, a lot of people, including me, poo-pooed at the idea in the summer that people were watching less football because of the Colin Kaepernick thing, because it really wasn't anything close to what it is now by way of a controversy. And I thought this is just some people with a political agenda trying to co-opt the issue and make this into what the president eventually made it into. So I didn't buy that. But now... you know, the numbers now, I still think it's driven by team and game. Cowboys Packers did great on Fox. But, you know, the Sunday night game this past week, the Chiefs Texans, a pretty good game. It was up like 4% over last year's game, which on the surface is good. Week 5 Sunday night game, hey, a 4% increase. But here's the thing. Last year, Packers Giants was up against the second presidential debate, the first debate after the Access Hollywood tape came out. And to only be up 4% in comparison to that, really?
Mike.
You know, the game that was up against the first debate last year on Monday Night Football had like a 60% increase. So, you know, something's going on here, and they're trying to put out the fire. However big the fire is, I don't think they know, they're trying to put it out.
I would not expect them to admit this publicly, but just as a 30-year-old consumer of media who knows about cutting the cord and streaming and all of that stuff, is it not possible that it is just quite as simple as we've peaked? We've peaked, period. There are new ways to watch that are not measured by traditional ratings. There are more options than ever before. And whatever the NFL's peak is in terms of popularity, like they're still number one. Sunday Night Football was down from 2 years ago, but it was still number one in the ratings. More people watch live football than they watch anything else. Like, why can't people grasp that with Hulu and Roku and cord cutting and Apple TV and Netflix and Amazon and 300 channels, why can't people just, and by the way, Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, the saturation in the market, why can't people grasp that just we're all still consuming media, but we're just not maybe consuming football as much as we did. Still more than anything else, but not as much as we were.
That may be the end result. And the question is, 10, 20 years from now, what does it look like? The NFL still gathers a live audience unlike anything else.
Exactly. I
mean, most of your shows. My wife and I go through this conversation every week. We watch This Is Us. Well, when are we going to watch it? We're going to watch it on DVR. Are we watching it Tuesday night at 10 so we can fast forward through the commercials? We're going to watch it Wednesday night. We're just going to watch two or three of them next week. What are we going to do? You don't feel compelled to experience the event along with everyone else. With a football game, you do. When American Idol was in its heyday, you did. The Walking Dead, I think, still has that. We all need to watch it at the same time.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, the NFL is the one thing that has had that, that will have that. The question is, what's the maximum audience? And here's the thing. How about this? At a time when the NFL seems hell-bent on forcing football onto folks in Europe and other countries, They just assume they've saturated the United States. Maybe they need to do more work to fully saturate the United States. Maybe there's more they can do, and maybe they should be focused more on that instead of being focused and obsessed on trying to spread the NFL virus to other countries.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
Segment brought to you by UPSJobs.com. Want up to $125 in weekly bonuses and $25,000 in tuition assistance? Be a part-time UPS package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Apply at UPSJobs.com.
Spreading the pro football virus to other countries. I'm infected. I am thoroughly infected. I'm reading in my Sports Illustrated this week that Shad Khan and his London-based financial empire, and he's, you know, he loves having the Jaguars over there, and there's a large thought that maybe that's eventually what's going to happen.
I just think all this discussion on ratings is such nonsense, and it just it completely misses the rest of the landscape. Everything is down.
Right.
Across the board, everything is down.
Our business, we had to figure out, as an industry, how to count video stream, audio stream, how to actually consider that as part of what used
podcasts
to be the traditional ratings numbers, podcast downloads. You have to figure that. If somebody's watching the NFL via Apple TV or through the Sunday Ticket on their Xbox, like my nephew does in New York City.
Or they're not watching the NFL. Like, there are just other options. There's just more stuff to watch, period. And so, like, you're like, oh, wow, you know, the Weather Channel did really well during the hurricanes. Yeah. Oh, wow, cable news did really well during the election year, times of Trump. Yeah, absolutely. But show me something that beats the NFL. It doesn't exist. It's never existed. And I don't know that it's going to exist anytime soon. It's still number one. It just doesn't have quite as big of a piece of the pie as it used to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's peaked. That's what it is. It's peaked.
When we come back, Danny, I'll answer the question. There have been 28 of these at one position since 1999. 28 since 1999. Do you know what it is?
I have no idea, but you'll tell me. And we have the Cubs lineup for game two. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment of Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site. I obviously meant game four, game two at Wrigley, but the Cubs tweeted out game four lineup take two. And I just, I'm the Ron Burgundy of radio, and I just read what I saw. I saw the word two, and I said it. Same as yesterday. John Jay batting leadoff in center field. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, 2-3-4. Ben Zobrist in right, batting fifth. Kyle Schwarber in left, batting sixth. Addison Russell and Javi Baez up the middle, 7-8, with Jake Arrieta pitching and hitting ninth. We have an update on the Score surgical mask operation to mock the mold at Wrigley that we'll do after the update.
I asked you what there have been 28 of in sports since 1999.
Yes, and the texters all got it, and if I would have put a little bit more thought into it before the break, I would have as well. But go ahead.
Kevin Hogan has been named the starter for the Cleveland Browns. There have been 28 different starting quarterbacks since 1999 for the Cleveland Browns. The likes of Kelly Holcomb, if you got him, Luke McCown, Ken Dorsey started three games in 2008.
Sure.
Thad Lewis, Brandon Whedon.
Seneca Wallace gets some of those games. Tim Couch got some of those games.
Yes, sir. Spurgeon Wynn. Anybody? Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Eagles, got some starts in there. Lots of Charlie Fry. The Bears, for the record, 22 different starting quarterbacks since 1999. Hope that one's over. The Packers, since 1993, five different starting quarterbacks. And only nine of those starts since 1993 have been made by anybody other than Favre or Aaron Rodgers. Matt Flynn made six starts. Scott Tolzien, two. Seneca Wallace, one. Other than that, the same guys since 93.
Some people heard you saying, like, our business figured out how to accommodate streaming and video and podcasts and all of that. And they're saying, well, what, Sports Talk Radio could figure it out, but the NFL hasn't?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. It's that, A, our industry has been fairly slow to it. But also, it's not that they haven't figured it out. It's that when people say the ratings are down, that is only using the old Arbitron Nielsen, like, traditional measurement of ratings.
Because what they've figured it out is they're making their money off nine different ways of selling you the product.
Right. But so when people say, man, the NFL ratings are down, yes, but everyone's things are down using the old school of measurement, with the exception of things that peak, you know, that are new, right? Trump was new. Cable news went up during the election. Hurricanes were new. Mm-hmm. Weather Channel goes up during a hurricane. Game of Thrones is new and hot right now. Not that the show's new, but you understand what I'm saying. New episodes are hot right now. They go up. So it's not like ratings can never be up. Fox Sports 1's ratings start at zero. They get a one share. They're going up. But when you were at the top and everyone's watching things through a different platform and you're only talking about the old measurement of ratings, mm-hmm. they go down. Thank you, Joe Ostrowski. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Yes, John Morosi reporting that Scott Boras has told him that Steven Strasburg might pitch today. Deontay Thompson is gone from the Bears. Tanner Gentry is up off the practice squad. We told you it was going to be a crazy day.
It is.
Things are moving.
This is what John Morosi tweeted. Could Strasburg still pitch today? Scott Boras, his agent, just told me he was ill yesterday, but health dependent. I wouldn't rule anything out. Okay. So let's see what happens today. He's supposed to take the podium to talk about his start tomorrow. He's not doing that. If he was ill, would you just fly him back to D.C. and let him prep and be ready? Possibly?
I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor. If you have a sinus infection or something
maybe
like that,
you don't
want to fly. But I have no idea, obviously. But now he might pitch today, so then he wouldn't be at the press conference. Was that why he's not going to the press conference? Is he too sick, or because he's pitching today? What, Joe's got some information?
Yeah, John Morosi just tweeted, Steven Strasburg now likely to start for the Nats today in Game 4.
Wow.
Of course.
Shamed into it.
Is that – now we have a real tough decision on our hands. Do we cancel the mold masks? Or are they less funny because he's still pitching? I say no.
The real sport ramifications are rolling around my head more than the promotional ramifications.
All right, fine. We can talk about those if you take it so seriously. All right, so Steven Strasburg is
both
starting.
Of them. It's all swimming in there together, as it always does.
Does Strasburg this now change? Cubs lineup can change now, obviously.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, given the opportunity to change it. Strasburg was, you know, like you still go with Baez, went with Baez in game one, but did not go with Baez when it was Scherzer. They're very different pitchers.
Yes. One is a potential Cy Young candidate. The other is named Tanner Rourke.
Wow. You think Strasburg had to do this because of the level of shaming that was going on, the reputation disaster that was upon him?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, right? I guess, like, or he woke up and magically he's fine. Or I just hope they shell him and end it today. Like, don't let Strasburg be the hero. He took a no-hitter into the sixth against you in game one. Like, just beat this guy again.
Well, I'll tell you this much. In game one, you sat there watching him, and he looked completely unhittable with absurd stuff. As Rizzo said, some of the greatest stuff he's ever seen. And then he fell off dramatically in the sixth inning. So you just gotta outlast him and let it get to that again.
If Strasburg is great again, what's the storyline after the game?
You mean, what are they going to sell?
Yeah, what is it going to is?
It's going to be flu game stuff, right?
Right. Is it going to be positive, or is it going? Or is it going to be? Oh well, he was shamed into this, or he should have been ready to do this already.
I don't know, man. All I know is
if he wins a playoff game, he's going to be the hero. He'll be the guy who was faced with adversity. No, I don't know about nationally, but like locally, and what Dusty will say, and Rizzo will say, and his teammates will say, and all of that. I'll say, of course, guy was sick. He answered the bell. He wasn't supposed to go today.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to go Friday or Thursday. What day is today? Wednesday?
Yeah,
supposed
to
go Thursday.
I still believe it was what I had said, what Barry Svrluga wrote, what we were talking to the D.C. guys about, the routine, that it was precious, precious routine. So he's bending that. He's bending that, which is what you're supposed to do come playoff time. You're supposed to be available whenever your team needs you, and his team needs him right the hell now. All right. Very, very interesting stuff. What a crazy day. We'll check in at the ballpark for sure.
Yeah, of course. We got Michael Irvin and Can't Do It and Patrick Manley. We were going to talk to those, big-time athletes, too, about the idea of, like, how do you look your teammate in the eye if you feel like he can play and he doesn't, which is what some of the reports were around Strasburg.
And that still would be applicable since it appears that he has bent to that kind of thing. Maybe he caught wind of the things that people have been saying, the things that people have been tweeting. All right, back to your masks. I think you could still rock the masks.
Well, I think it's mocking Strasburg, right? It's like when Pirates fans chant like, Cueto, Cueto. This guy's fragile. He's got a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there and mock Strasburg. Mock Dusty. They're coming at you for the mold in this great city and our air conditioning vents and the weather changing. Like, we're the only people that are affected by, climate. It's ridiculous. All right.
I think you can still get away with
it. The masks are still on. So here's the update on the mask situation.
Yeah.
If you are going to the game, we're going to do this around the bleachers. The legal department has shut down the ability to give tickets to someone, unfortunately. For doing this, because how would we be able to identify if multiple people were shown on the Jumbotron, if a group of people were doing it together? That has been shut down by the legal department. But I have been handed some score stickers that I'm pretty sure were used to promote, like Northern Jigs or something like that. Because
they're a little janky.
They're on like yellow paper. So I don't know where they found these.
To be fair, you asked for 5,000 stickers at a whim. So you
would get them. Fair enough. Hey, beggars can't be choosers. I got about 150 from 1995.
I don't think they were Northern Jigs because we weren't 670 at the
time. Okay, fair enough.
So it's from the early dawn of 670. Hey, let's promote this wacky new station.
All right. So I've been handed about 150 stickers. We might be able to print some more before that.
I gave Ray Diaz $100 to go get as many surgical masks as possible.
Right. So I'm going to go to Wrigley with surgical masks and stickers in my hand, and I'll hang out by the bleacher entrance, I guess. And if you want a surgical mask with 670 score and you're willing to wear it during the game to mock the mold that the Dusty Baker is saying is the cause of all of this mess, we'll give you the surgical mask and the sticker.
The more I think about it, the masks are funnier with him on the mound.
Right? They're funnier with him on the mound.
I think they're funnier with him actually being out there pitching.
It was Dusty who said the mold comment, which is why I felt like it worked without it.
Right.
And Game 5's in D.C., so this is really our only chance.
Yeah, but you're also...
I'm not flying back to D.C. to do this.
You're trolling what was seemingly a 24-hour softness based on mold, or a terribly phrased excuse and cover by Dusty, who was going out there and trying to save his pitcher and trying to represent the team that was covering something up. I mean, the whole thing just reeks of the legendary dysfunction of the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Not a great organization.
I mean, and yet they are in some ways. They draft well. Sometimes they develop well. They make a couple of trades. They spend some money wisely. They're a hell of an organization, except they're terrible at the same time.
I've seen people make the point that Bob wants to. Bob, go ahead. You're on the score.
Hey, guys. Yeah, yesterday, as soon as this came out, me and my buddies were like, this is a smokescreen. He's pitching tomorrow. It's just to throw everybody off. So now all of a sudden the Cubs players are going to find out today that Strasburg's pitching, and the Nationals are going like, yeah, hit him with a little surprise move here.
But what advantage was gained through them looking chaotic for 16 hours? They didn't gain any decided schematic advantage or anything.
Well, and like, these guys have the scouting reports on these guys already.
Sure.
They just faced Strasburg in game one. All it is okay, are they going to change anybody in or out of the lineup?
So,
they can do that anyway.
Right, but so a couple of guys who are in this lineup today might now be told, you're not in the lineup because we don't trust you as much against Strasburg. They would have gotten that message anyway.
You're in the game five lineup, right? If game five is necessary, that's when you're... These guys were all told before the series started
who the matchups are good for, who the matchups are bad for.
Study the scouting reports on this guy. This is when we're going to want to use you. This is where you're going to be getting the start and all. And it's all hands on deck come playoff time anyway.
This is the one theory that I will discount completely, the idea of the Nationals being wily and using this as some sort of
strategy,
some crafty smokescreen by the Nationals. No.
We have Michael Irvin at 11:20. Can't do it at 11:45. Pat Manley at noon. We're reacting to all the craziness at Spiegel and Park is on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on the score, brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. Texter writes in, so wait, we're still doing the surgical masks, right? Yes. Even though Strasburg is starting, the surgical masks are being procured. I have the stickers, and I will head to Wrigley Field after the show. We're going to mock the mold to hopefully, accomplish nothing. You don't think that these texters are serious, do you? The ones who are blaming us for the shift from Tanner Rourke to Steven Strasburg. Like, this, like, you guys have been hammering him all day since yesterday.
Oh, right, because he's just sitting around whatever new hotel they had to move to yesterday listening to the score.
You're shaming him into this.
The whole sports universe is shaming him. It's
there is that.
I do think there is certainly an element of shame that is driving Steven Strasburg to pitch today. If you want to blame us, that's fine, but you'd have to go look at, you know, every other baseball player who's tweeted about it, every baseball TV show last night, just about every columnist, all of the Nationals beat people. I mean, my God. And the whole organization, which by saying, no, he's sick, leaves it open to, yeah, if I was sick, there's no way I wouldn't pitch.
Of course. So Strasburg is pitching, according to John Morosi, who was talking to Scott Boras, Strasburg's agent. So Tanner Rourke gets skipped, which we'll see what they do. Of course, it's all hands on deck when you're facing elimination. The lineup was out. Obviously, the Cubs can change stuff until they submit the card before the game. Going back to game one, that would mean presumably that Jason Hayward is back in and Ben Zobrist maybe gets moved up in the lineup. Zobrist led off that game, game one against Strasburg, instead of John Jay. So, you know, presumably maybe they stay with that and Hayward gets back in there if they like him against Strasburg.
Could absolutely be the case. Hayward's numbers in the past have been very, very good against Strasburg.
Right. And he was 0 for his life against Tanner Rourke, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was part of the reason why he was out there. So you could see Zobrist move up in the batting order and Hayward be back in there and John Jay be available to pinch hit off the bench if game one is any indication.
Entirely possible. Yes. So we'll have to see what they do with that information. Do people understand the Scott Boras Washington Nationals relationship historically? I think we should offer a little bit of clarity. Here are the Scott Boras clients, the super agent, on the Washington Nationals. Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Jason Wirth, and Matt Wieters. Here are the Strasburg clients in the starting rotation. Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and Gio Gonzalez. I mean, he and Mike Rizzo have had a relationship for decades. Rizzo's been in baseball a long time. And 2012, when Strasburg is shut down, he's represented by Boras, and it was done to theoretically save him from the pseudoscience that they leaned on, saying this means he won't blow out his arm, when our guy Jeff Passan knows that there's absolutely nothing to base that on.
Right.
A couple years later, Strasburg signs a $175 million free agent deal. That's about $125 million less than he would have gone had he reached full free agency, as most Boras clients do. The whole Chris Bryant thing, he's waiting until he reaches free agency. Boras didn't do that with Strasburg. It's like they paid them back. He paid the Nationals back for following his lead with the pseudoscience in 2012, among other things of bending to Strasburg, right? So now here we are, and it comes from Boras, that Strasburg might start. Scott Boras has been in charge of the Nationals in some way for a while,
which is why they're not an organization that is very highly regarded. It's a huge part of it anyway as to why they're not highly regarded. And then the 2012 debacle, taking it for granted. And they could, and we've talked about this before the series, and I just think about the headspace that Cubs fans were in last year. Like, there's that desperation to get the one. It's not the same with the 108-year drought, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you have Strasburg and Harper and these number one picks and they hit and you spend money and you get baseball back after it being gone for 30 plus years and this is your squad and you did sign Strasburg but you haven't signed Harper and everybody thinks Harper's going to leave.
Another Boras client.
This is your shot.
This is your moment.
This is your – so that's why we were saying so clearly that the pressure was on them beforehand.
Absolutely.
Because maybe one more chance after this year for the Nationals.
You know, we've been wondering, can you tell your starting pitcher to go if he says he doesn't want to go? If you're Mike Rizzo, can you lean on him and tell him to go? Maybe not, but if you're Scott Boras, you can. If you're Scott Boras, you can and say, Steven, I've guided you forever. You're not going to win this. There's no way for us to make this look good. Just freaking pitch. That's what's happening.
And now, maybe the Cubs get the benefit of going up against a guy who has the flu, who is shamed into pitching and has been thrown off his routine. Hopefully, we get a lesser version of Steven Strasburg than game one.
Dude, that's the thing. It's like the guy who's legendarily routine is now completely off his routine.
Which is why there is an argument to be made for the Nationals to bend to him because he is super talented. You know what I mean? Like, that's the great.
If they had anybody other than Tanner Roark, you know?
Who also is good. Tanner Roark is good. And the Cubs do not do well against him historically. Mm. But if you are in an elimination game, do you go with your Cy Young caliber pitcher or a guy named Tanner? I think the answer is the Cy Young guy every single time. It's just how it works.
Dude, Tanner Gentry has been promoted today from the practice squad.
Damn, it really is a Tanner day. We'll talk about Gentry next on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Danny Tanner from Full House. Tanner Day on the score.
Danny and Tanner. That's getting everything in there.
That's right. Tanner Roark not starting.
Today is
Tanner Gentry's up.
Tanner Day. Followed by Hendrix Day. Oh, Tanner, Tanner, Tanner. Hey, Jay Zawoski.
Hey.
You are a hero of men. If you're watching, folks, at watch670thescore.com.
How does it work? How does it sound?
It sounds garbled, but it looks good. Danny Parkins is wearing a surgical mask.
It's an improvement.
You're a funny man.
That's a lower bag factor than your regular face. No, you're wearing the surgical mask with the 670 The Score sticker on it. And forget the guy who said we might have adhesion issues.
It works great.
Like a charm.
It's not a problem.
That's why we bought the cheap masks. People were trying them on, like, quality actual surgical masks.
These are just
the strap-ons.
Well, perfect.
Well, Jay, I thought you had a lot of strap-ons anyway at home.
Yeah, well, they're all the way at home. Okay. I don't have time to go get those.
So how many strap-ons did you buy?
175.
That's a lot.
We got 175 surgical masks, and we got about 150 stickers, and I will take both, and I'll head to Wrigley, and for like an hour or so before the game, or an hour and a half, I'll just hang out outside, probably the bleacher entrance.
Yeah.
Bleacher creatures seem most likely to take me up on this stupid stunt.
I hope the Cubs don't stop those things from going in, right? It's in your pocket.
It's a mold season.
Yeah.
How dare they discriminate like that?
Skilling just tweeted that mold levels are elevated.
So this is when we actually stand up for mold? This is when we say that, it's real. The whole idea.
I think it is real.
It is real. It is
soft
real.
As a grape to not pitch because of it.
Yeah.
I can't go.
Yeah.
I got the black lung pop.
I
received a text from a friend. I text in support of mold. Mold is real. It has been kicking my ass for a week. Zero energy. In bed or on couch for days. It's my guy Vince. But you know what? He had a gig last week. He sang with Tributosaurus last week, and he manned up and he sang on the damn gig.
He's a gamer.
If Vince can sing, then Strasburg can pitch.
I mean, I was late today. I forgot my wallet. My routine has been thrown off. I'm still bringing it with this Mock the Mold campaign. Doing the Lord's work over here. That was a good impression of Strasburg, Jay. Maybe we'll do an exclusive interview with him later on in the show. Yeah. Steven, how are you going to attack the Cubs lineup today?
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. No, I understand, but I mean, the mounds could be a little wet after the rain this morning. Are you concerned about the conditions today?
It's going to take it one pitch at a time.
That's good stuff. I mean, Jake Arrieta's fighting through a hamstring. Which one of you is overcoming more adversity today?
Oh, absolutely me.
Yeah, true. No, it's good. We'll go back to you later on. That's Steven Strasburg exclusively on the score.
So far, Zawoski does a Strasburg, he does a Matt Spiegel, and a gay Murph, right?
Yeah.
Or are they all
slash
the same?
Gay Murph.
Yeah. Who does Matt Spiegel like in the game today?
Oh, babe, you know, I really like the music scene in D.C. is really rocking these days, so it's hard for me to pick against them. Plus, I adore Strasburg and the way he throws the pill. But it's going to be a great vibe at Wrigley, win or lose.
It's perfect. We'll check back in with Strasburg and Spiegel later on. This segment brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com.
How about the Cubs angle of this, the under-discussed Cubs angle? Remember Jake Arrieta? I hope he's good today. There's that part to look at. And all
Jake Arrieta starting?
I know. You forgot, right?
No. We'll do it after the update. No break.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.